I don't know about you, but I came to praise the Lord. I heard something really interesting coming to church. It said Jesus is alive. So isn't that neat? Somebody give Alan a microphone. I want him to tell you what he just told me about this game. I hope in your bulletin, what's it called? What's that game called? Go ahead,
the Pokemon thing. The only thing I said to you was that this game was produced by a front company for the CIA. And what they're doing is you walk around with this thing and you're holding it like this, and they're actually mapping locations in real time. And the most of these things have been found in churches. So
that blew my mind. Church people were playing this game.
Right. As a matter of fact, I saw a billboard for it in a church. I was going down 13 somewhere. I don't know what it was. Come in and play Pokemon something. Right on the church billboard.
I saw in the news where some kid ran into a police car and he was playing that game driving his car. And then Larry said some kid was playing it and he walked off of a cliff. Yeah, but the game is demonic. It's all about demons. All right. I don't want you to come to church here and doing that kind of stuff. Because then you have demons, you bring them right here. So I don't know about you, but I'm excited about what God is getting ready to do. I'm excited because he's getting ready to perform great signs, wonders, and miracles. We've been hearing that forever, but you know what? For 400 years, they heard the Messiah was coming, didn't they? And he finally came. A lot of people died, never saw that. But we're not going to die. And we're going to see the signs, wonders, and miracles occur. But in the process of that, everybody in here has to understand that the enemy's trying to take you off course too. He's just fighting you tooth and nail because he wants you back. If he had you, he wants you back. And if he didn't have you, he wants you. You know, whatever. So I'm really encouraging each one of you this morning to really fight for your salvation. Just keep hold of what you have and just keep climbing higher. And this morning as we go into praise and worship, the first song we're going to sing is Thank You, Lord. And I just really want you to thank him from the very depth of your being that he's brought you this far. I was talking to Sister Astrid, and I still don't realize the fullest attendant to all the torture and torment she went through when she was a prisoner of war. And I heard about how bad her back is. But yet she comes in here and jumps and shouts and praises the Lord. And she's just about totally disabled. Now, if she can do that, I mean, when I heard this yesterday, I just blew my mind. Some of you come in here because you got a headache, you won't even open your mouth. But she's over there shouting and jumping, and she really and truly is just about disabled. I just really want you to think about this. You really don't have a problem. You know, when I think about Astrid and all the things she went through, we know what they do to prisoners of war, especially women. You know, and she's still sitting here praising the Lord, loving the Lord with all of her heart. And she might be, all right, I'm going to make her like Jesus. She might just get disgruntled at home, but she doesn't show it in the house of God. Amen. She's in here worshiping him, and that's what she's supposed to be doing. Well, Father, here we are again, sitting in your presence, waiting to hear your voice. With great expectation, Father God, we stand before you this morning knowing that you are well able to do whatever needs to be done in our lives. Father God, open up the spiritual ears this morning. Let them hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, we cover your word with the blood that the enemy cannot steal the seed before it takes root. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'm going to teach on weary prophets. There's so much being said out there about prophets. There are true prophets and there are false prophets. And we have to be aware of what is false and what is real. If you sit in a church under a prophet and you can't receive the word of the prophet, then you're unteachable. And you need to go find someplace else where they can teach you. We have found some people's prophetic tapes in the trash. And that's fine, except that same person comes up again after they trash their CD and wants another word. Now, I don't like that. If one word's true, then the next word is true, and then the next word is true. Amen. Either you trust a prophet or you don't. So I'm just asking you who are prophets in here, that whenever you prophesy to somebody and they do things like that, I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to just thank God that you, He is using you as a vessel to speak into somebody else's life and to give them encouragement and give them direction. What they do with that word is totally and completely up to them. All right? Because you're going to run in, as the days go on and the darkness comes, you're going to run into a lot of problems. You're going to run into people who are going to contradict everything you say. And the best thing you can do is walk away. Why would you stand and argue about God's word? Amen. All right, this is a vision another prophet received. I was driven by the Holy Spirit to prayer. It was urgent. A great burden came on me, and I saw thousands of prophets. They were bruised and wounded men and women of God with their heads hung low, almost ready to give in to defeat. Then from heaven came a large postcard slowly falling to earth, and it read, God says, weary prophets, hold on and don't quit. So I just want to give that to you this morning. God said, weary prophets, hold on and don't quit. Don't worry about what people say about the prophetic word you give them. You just give whatever God's given it and you just let it alone. It's not up to you to tell them what the word says. That's up to them to get before God and seek God's face. What are you trying to tell me here, Lord? Because a prophet doesn't know what God's telling you. Only God and you know your life. The prophet doesn't. And a prophet's just a vessel that God works through. God said, sometimes you thundered my word and few received it. Remember this, I was watching from heaven and I received it because I gave it to you. So God says, weary prophets, hold on and don't quit. Sometimes you thundered my word and few received it. Remember this, I was watching from heaven and I received it because I gave it to you. Isaiah 51:16, and I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. I want you to stop right there, because see what, whenever you give the word over the pulpit, that's prophetically given by God. That's what it's saying here. I have put my words in your mouth. And so if you're a true child of God, really walking in the Spirit, when you give the message, you'll be praying, God, let it be the Holy Spirit that speaks through me. Let it be your words that come out of my mouth and not my own. All right? So it doesn't matter if the people receive the word or not that comes forth. If you're a true child of God, walking in the Spirit and anointed, then God is using you prophetically. Then what goes forth is the truth. Now, if you're just standing in a pulpit or wherever, and you're just letting your flesh do the works, then God isn't speaking through you. God said, often you trembled before my word was released from your mouth, not knowing if it would be accepted, but you spoke it anyway. There were those times when you wanted to throw in the towel, but you kept moving. Now, many times when I'm speaking up here, I think, God, not again. God, we just went through this, not again, but I have to give it anyhow, because that's where the people haven't learned yet, that the word hasn't, the first word that God hadn't taken root, so God has to replant the word. And so if you're a prophet of God, you know, speaking God's word, then you just have to give it again and again and again, if that's what it takes. Luke 9:62, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now I want to stop there at this scripture. Every one of you who have been born again have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You do not have the option of quitting. It says, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow, when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, became born again, you put your hand to the plow. And looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The minute you look back, then God says here, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And if you've done that, you have to repent, turn around, and start your work all over again. Remember that even Elijah was depressed and wanted to quit in 1 Kings 19:1-4. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, she said, "If I don't kill you tomorrow about this time, then, you know, let something happen to me." And when Elijah saw that, he arose and ran for his life. Isn't that ridiculous? But you know what? That's what happens to prophets in right now today. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. Come on. And said, "It is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Just because you gave a word that God gave you and the Jezebels want to kill you doesn't give you the permission to run and hide or want to die. I really want you to get this in your spirit, because as the days get darker and God puts the word in your mouth, it's going to be a cutting word in your mouth. And when you give it forth, people are going to come after you, want to stone you. Amen. It amazes me when you read some of the prophetic words out there, because some of them, you know, are not true, but people will gobble them things right up. But you see a true prophetic word go forth and they say that's trash. This is the end time thing that we're in. They'd rather believe the lie than the truth. Now, do not think this a strange thing happening in 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. See that? When people come against you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You're going to find the people who are going to come against you the hardest are Christians and even pastors, bishops, you know, evangelists. They will come against you the hardest. Why? Because they know that you have an anointing that they desire but do not have. And so because of their jealousy, they're going to have to put you down. They're going to try to stop you from speaking God's truth. You cannot allow that to happen. You have to go forth and speak what God says for you to speak. I'm going to give you an example here about why you have to keep going. When I first became born again and I was gifted, you know, I used to go to a prayer meeting, and word got out that there was a prophet in this prayer meeting, and I didn't know what that was, okay? And this lady came in here that night, and God started speaking to her, and I said to her, I said, "You have a mother at home who has hurt her foot," and on and on, I can't remember what was wrong with her foot or anything else. I said, "When you go home, her foot's going to be healed." Never seen this lady before. So she went home. She said, "Mom," she said, "how's your foot?" And her mother said, "My foot is fine. It's healed." And then she went on to tell about how this woman was at this prayer meeting and spoke all these things that I didn't know into her life. And then she started telling people, "You have to come and hear the prophet." But then, see, it got to the point where when God would speak through me, he was telling all this intimate stuff about people. And I would tell them what God said, because, you know, I just let God use me. And when they started getting all upset with me, then I went to God and said, "God, please, I don't want this gift. This gift causes me too much trouble." And God took it. He didn't use me in that area anymore. I could tell you what you were doing at your in your kitchen table, what you were talking about and everything. And then when I would tell people what they did, they got upset with me, because they didn't want me around to be able to tell about their private life to them, not to other people. But I'm asking you, please don't do that. If God has gifted you with a wonderful gift, please use it. It doesn't matter what people have to say or how they put you down. Just use it. And just go ahead and be God's servant, and quit being offended at everything that people say to you whenever you're prophesying to them. All right, I said, do not think this strange thing happening. You're in good company. In Jeremiah 20:7. O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word, see, Jeremiah said, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. He was upset. They were upset. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Now, see, if you're a true prophet of God, true child of God, even though you don't want to speak the word, it just comes out. Because God pushes that. He wants that word to go forth. Then Jeremiah says, for I heard many mocking, fear on every side, report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced. See, they're always going to watch for you to fall, guys. Come on. They're going to wait for you to say something false about them. So only say what God is saying and do not say what you know. You hear me? And you have to quit becoming so friendly with people. You, if you're a prophet, you do not want to be friendly with people and know their every breath. Because then whenever you, God wants to use you to prophesy, you won't know if that's you, what you know, or if it's truly God speaking through you. Everybody wants to tell you their business. Don't let people tell you their business. If you're a prophet, don't let people tell you their business. Say, I just soon not know that. I would just soon God tell me what he wants me to know about you. So let's go back to verse 10. For I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. See that? Those are coming against you is going to stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. See that? Like Jeremiah, who could not contain the fire God put within him, you have also allowed God's flaming words to be released. You have to allow God to use you as a trumpet. Some of you, as you have moved along in the ministry God called you into, you have been restrained by obvious frowns, even on the faces of your own family. But you are still serving God. You are still obeying his call for your life. In the midst of all the pain of rejection, you have learned never to quit. I hope you've learned this, never to quit in spite of getting weary. And sometimes you had to encourage yourself when no one else would. Let's stop there. One time when I was out evangelizing, I was in this church. They heard the prophet was in town. They never heard a prophet, so a lot of the pastors were there and everything. But this one family came in a little bit late, a man and a woman and some children. And when I went over to prophesy to them, lo and behold, God spoke and told them, you treat her like a wife, but she's your daughter, and you're having incest with her, and these are your children, your offspring from her. Well, you know how that went over. But see, you know, I was there as a prophet, and I had prayed and told God, use me as you want to use me. And I didn't know any of these people. I had never seen these people before. And then there was a pastor there who was fighting being lesbian, and everybody was putting her down. But God spoke to her and said, I know where you're at, and I'm telling you, I'm giving you freedom. Do not look at the faces. Do not quit. Do not get discouraged, because you are going to come into complete freedom, and you're going to be, all bondage is going to be broken off of you. But see, at that point, I didn't know anything was going on with her. But do you know what? Everybody said that was a false word to her, because they knew what was going on. They told her that that was false. That was not God. He wouldn't have said that to you. And this pastor quit her church, and she, I don't know where she's at today. She listened to the voices instead of trusting what God had spoken to her. So what I'm saying here is, if you're in a mess and God comes and tells you all these great things he's going to do for you, then and keep trusting God. Keep believing that he's going to get you out of, because he's going to have to get you out of your mess if he's going to use you. And just go ahead and let God use you the way he wants to use you. But get out, let him get you out of your mess too. Let him free you up. All right. And God told me last night, he said, daughter, there isn't not one in the earth that is without sin, not one. So, you know, when somebody's judging you, and this is what he was talking about, because the body of Christ judging each other. So when somebody's judging you, they need to look inward at their self, because in them lies some sin somewhere. And he said, there's not any that is serving me that hasn't wished they hadn't done some things that they've done in the past. They wish they wouldn't have done them because now it's plaguing them. And I know that we can all say amen to that, right? You know, if we'd only known when we were little about God and his fullness and what he was going to do with us, there's a whole lot of things we would not have done. A whole lot of things we would not have said, and a whole lot of places we would have not have gone. But we didn't know that. And now since we do know it and God is cleaning us up, we can't let the past keep plaguing us. That's done. That's over with. We have to move forward and allow God to use us for his glory. If you want to know, you want to look at somebody, look at Saul, you know, Paul, what he did, and look how God used him. He suffered terribly, but look how God used him. And he even said, I used to do this to his people, but now I'm saving his people type thing. And so it doesn't matter what you used to be. It's what you are today. And I want to encourage each one of you in your day, be what God would have you to be today and forget about tomorrow. All right. 1 Samuel 36, that's right, 30 verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So even though people wanted to stone David, David strengthened himself in the Lord. He didn't look at the people. He didn't let the people discourage him and pull him down. He strengthened himself in the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, not everybody's going to love you. And not everybody's going to understand you. And the enemy wants you. So it's a constant struggle day in and day out to keep your salvation. But you have to do the warfare. You have to struggle to keep your salvation. I want to encourage you. Heaven has taken note, and angels are being dispatched to help you because you did not quit. Come on. You would rather die than not fulfill God's will for your life. How many of you feel like that? You knew you would feel awful if you didn't get to fulfill what God had for you. God says, you remind me of a man called Paul, and his anointing will be upon you. Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things, see, this is a prophetic word from God is what this is, really. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. See, with joy. In the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. In other words, he's getting ready to die. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. In other words, nobody's blood was on his hands. He told everybody the truth. No matter what the truth was, he told it to them. And he was free to go on and be with the Father, knowing that he was not going to be judged for anybody's blood that was on his hands. Come on. How many times have we knew somebody was doing something they shouldn't have, but we didn't want to hurt the feeling, so we didn't say anything. So somewhere along the line, you might have to answer to God for that. Amen. God says, weary ones, I'm pleased with you because you gave my word to many hurting ones. You've left some places wondering, what was that all about? Did anything happen? I'm going to tell you, as you go forth in your ministry, this is how you'll feel sometimes. You've left some places wondering, what was that all about? Did anything happen? Mighty servant of mine, do not be mistaken. You did move in my supernatural gifting. But after some meetings, you started to look in the natural, forgetting my super. Much did take place in the spirit. In other words, I do this, and I'm guilty of this, and I'm going to stop. I'll go home and say, well, God, what was the sense of all that? I didn't see any fruit. I didn't see anything changes. But what did he say? But after some meetings, you started looking the natural, which I did, forgetting my super. Much did take place in the spirit realm. And you might have even left a service thinking, well, that was a waste of time. But a couple of days down the road, you're going to find out it was not a waste of time. God did move supernaturally and did do something in your life. Just like I said, every time I've ever gone out in the spirit and been there for hours, I don't know where I went. I just know I laid down, and next thing I knew, I got up two, three hours later, and well, so I laid out there, and I know I wasn't sleeping. Was I snoring, Brother Chris? No. He usually stood by me to make sure nobody stepped on me. But some people do that, and they go on trips and see all kind of things and everything else. But I was really relieved one day when I read where this man said the same thing. He always went out in the spirit and never knew where he went. But something took place. Just like I was at that church, and they were having it was 2,000 people in there, and God said, I want you to go out and lay down in the aisle. I said, what? Why don't you go out there and lay down in the aisle? And so I went out, and my pastor said, what are you doing? I said, God told me to go out there and lay. Sit down. I said, no, God told me to go out there and lay down. So I did. And I went out in the spirit. In fact, I had a brush burn on my elbow from I laid there all during the service. I don't know what I did, but God was using me to do something in the spirit realm. See? And I was obedient and did what how do I know what happened to people in that service? And what would have happened? How do I know what would have happened if I would not have obeyed God? You understand this? So you have to be obedient to everything he tells you to do. Zechariah 4:6. Then he said, this is God's message to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed because of my spirit, though you are few and weak. See that? You will succeed because of my spirit, though you are few and weak. Therefore, no mountain, however high, can stand before Zerubbabel. For it will flatten out before him, and Zerubbabel will finish building this temple with mighty shouts of thanksgiving for God's mercy, declaring that all was done by grace alone. How many of you, God has said, you will not fall, but you can't quite believe that because you've in your eyes, you fell. But see, in God's eyes, you didn't fall. So whenever you fell, what'd you do? You got back up. You dust yourself off, you repented, and you went on. But God didn't see you fall. He saw you stumble. I'm hearing him say he saw you stumble, but he didn't see you fall. So get yourself back up, brush yourself off, and go on with God. It doesn't matter what you did or what you didn't do. Just repent and then go. But be like David. Whatever David sinned, he only did that sin one time. And he repented, and he never did that same sin ever again. That's true repentance. When you say to God, oh, I'm so sorry, God, and you go right back and you do the same sin, that is not true repentance. That's trying to get out of God's wrath. Amen? I knew somebody one time that had a heart problem, and he called all of his family members in and told everybody, oh, I'm so sorry, I did this and that and the other. And when he died on surgery and he went to hell, and I said, God, why? Well, then God brought him back. But I said, God, why'd that happen? I said, he repented. And God said, no, he didn't. He just didn't want to go to hell. So he was just mouthing words. Come on. God knows your heart. That tickled me. People say, well, they're in sin. They say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, that's a problem. He does know your heart. He knows your heart is hard. And you're trying to use that as an excuse to sin. And it doesn't work with God. So don't do this false repentance stuff if you're sick, because God knows. Okay, many of God's children who were hurting received fresh manna because of your being obedient to the prophetic ministry God called you to, and they left the meeting renewed and strengthened for the battle because you stepped out in the water, on the water, and obeyed God. Come on. Because when God asked you to give a message, and you get up and you gave the message, it doesn't matter if you think it went off or not, something happened. People's lives were changed, all because you were obedient. You were on the mark. The enemy of your soul attacked you viciously because you damaged his kingdom and he suffered loss, but for you it was gain. You know, sometimes, and I think about every time you give a message, And it's right on time. You're right on time word. And you destroy the enemy's camp. He comes after you like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he'll hound you to death. And you ought to start, instead of complaining, you ought to rejoice and say, thank you, Jesus. That was a good word, and the devil's upset. But we don't do that. Oh, they're coming against me. Bop, 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 bop. Look how I have to suffer. No, you shouldn't do that. You should say, thank you, Jesus, that the word tore down to some of the devil's kingdom. I'm trying to get you people to understand that in the days ahead, when God really starts using you mightily, you are going to be attacked. And nobody ever told me that, so I had to go, you know, stumble and get up, stumble and get up, stumble and get up. But I'm telling you, you're going to be attacked, but don't give in to the attack. God has you in his hands. He's taking care of you. He's going to keep you. Matthew 16:18 says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Some of you have eaten the bread of affliction, this is God speaking, but God rejoiced because even when you were under it, you gave healthy portions of the bread of life to God's wounded ones. Even though the enemy has been attacking you, was attacking you, you got up there and you gave the word that God wanted to give, and it helped those who were wounded. Okay? John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And for this, God is saying, thank you. We need to feed the hungry people. You know, in your job site, you shouldn't be giving in to the lust of the world. In your job site, you should be walking in the Spirit and allow God to use you to minister to the heathen around about you and bring them to Christ instead of you going to where they're at. God always told me, you never go down to their level. You always bring them up to your level. And what happens in the body of Christ? When the body of Christ goes after and goes to work, they find themselves mixing with the world, doing what the world is doing, instead of being peculiar and unique and staying separate and bringing them up to God's level. Amen. Now, I don't care what kind of devil you have inside of you. Smack him in the head, tell him to shut up, and you go ahead and do what God's telling you to do. Well, you know, I'm bound. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are not. God set you free. The enemy's trying to make you believe you're still bound. He'll make you believe you're bound as long as you give in to it, believe it. You know, I had cancer in my right colon. I had a death sentence on me. They said I was going to die in a couple of weeks. And I went to a prayer meeting. We prayed, and that thing, I was healed. But you know that that devil keeps bringing that back. He's bringing back the symptoms. I said, nope, I was healed. And I know exactly what day I was healed. I was healed then, and I'm still healed today. I have to keep fighting till that pain goes away, but that devil keeps trying to bring that back on me right now. So, you know, I could easily say, oh, well, here it is. Here I go again. It's back again. But I'm not doing that. God, I know that God healed me. I know a miracle occurred. And when you know you have a miracle in your body, then you hang on to that miracle and do not allow the enemy to steal it. That's what this is all about. There's some of you in here tonight. This morning, he'd love to take you out. God says, weary servants, reject the criticism. See that? Reject the criticism because many in heaven are applauding. One time God let me see heaven. He opened up the heavens and let me see. And it's like an arena up there. And your loved ones are up there waiting. You know, they have little hats on and they're cheering you on. They're watching what you're doing. So, weary servants reject the criticism. Many in heaven are applauding. And one day I was really, really beat down. And God opened heaven and let me see that. And my daddy was standing there. And he, you know, they called me Jimmy. Jimmy, come on, you can make it. Come on, you can make it. Don't you sit down. That's what he was yelling at me. And I heard that God let me hear that. So, you know, every time I want to give up, feel like giving up, I remember that vision. And I know my daddy's up there watching me. Because he told me, he said, don't you ever sit down and quit. He, you know, boy, he really drilled that in me. Don't you ever quit. If you start something, finish it. See, the problem with the body of Christ is during your lifetime, there's so many things you started and never finished. You suffer and gave up. And this is why I'm so adamant about when we start a project here. We are not going to stop it. You're going to have to get yourself together because we are not dropping this project. Are you understanding this? Because God didn't call us to a project to drop it. He called us to a project to see it to the end. And he hasn't said the projects are ended, so you have to keep going. All right. Many of God's prophets who receive God's approval often receive man's rejection. Are you listening? Many of God's prophets who receive God's approval often receive man's rejection. As a prophet, don't expect to be voted man of the year. Some of you have looked at your calling as being small and insignificant. You couldn't be more wrong. I'm going to stop right here and tell you, if I give you a word, it's not what I'm thinking about. You really wouldn't want me to tell you what I'm thinking about you. I'm serious. When I give a word, it's totally God. And when I know I'm not right, I don't give a word. You know, if I'm upset about it, I don't give a word. So don't ever come to me and say, well, you said that out of your flesh, I'll slap you. Because I don't do that. And I teach you not to do that. You know, because it destroys lives. It destroys lives. Listen to me. So whatever you speak, don't say, God said. No, he didn't. How many of you have heard people say something, say, God said. They had put that on the end like that sealed the thing. No, he didn't. And really, if you're walking in spirit, you know that God did not say. All right? Come on. You're under a prophet, so therefore you're all prophets. And I don't want you going out there and give God a bad name. I don't care about myself, but don't give God a bad name by going out there and acting big and bad and indifferent and giving words that are coming from your flesh. I've seen too much of that in my walk with God. Many of you have not become well known in earth, but in heaven your name is celebrated. So if you're looking to be a celebrity, forget it. You've given some words that sounded to you like tin, but they were actually gold to the ones who received them. And anybody knows you're given a prophetic word, sometimes you think, that didn't even make sense. Have you ever done that? You think, God, that didn't even make sense. But to the person that got it, it was gold. They knew exactly what God was saying. Proverbs 15, in fact, one time I gave Brother Chris Gore a prophetic word, and I called him, I said, did that make sense to you? Because he said, oh, it was right on. But to me, I thought, I really messed up there. So, you know, it doesn't matter what it sounds like to you. God knows what he's saying to the person. God put it, where am I at here now? Am I reading that scripture? Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season. How good it is. God, in other words, when you prophesy to somebody, it's right the time they need to hear that thing, you know, and it's a good thing. God put his goodness in your mouth for weary souls. Hear that. God put his goodness in your mouth for other weary souls, not for you. Other weary souls. And you did not withhold it from those to whom it was due. Because of your obedience to proclaim God's word, even though few noticed, walls of hopelessness fell away from some, and others suddenly gained strength to answer their calling. You know how many people quit coming to this church because they know that I know their business. I can't send unto you because you know what I'm doing. Well, if you're walking with God, why do you care what I know? But I don't tell what I know. It's just whatever God says. Amen. But see, they're convicted and they can't sit under me. All because you rejected the criticism of doubters and allowed yourself to be fueled by heaven cheering you on. And okay, I said, because of your obedience to proclaim God's word, even though few noticed, walls of hopelessness fell away from some and others suddenly gained strength to answer their calling. All because you rejected the criticism of doubters and allowed yourself to be fueled by heaven cheering you on. You didn't fire back to the pessimist. Instead, you simply loved them and moved on with your mission. But I grumble to myself every now and then. How can they be so dumb and still survive? Well, Brother Brett's going to teach us how they could do that, all right? We found out something that, a couple days, haven't we? God says some think they are approaching the sunset of their ministry and they are wrong. In other words, you old people like me in here, we are not done. God is just starting with us. We're going to do great and wonderful things for the Lord. A second wind is coming to refresh many. Some prophets think they have missed it and feel guilty. I don't feel that way, but some prophets do. 2 Timothy 4:10, in reality, some have failed, but many have been lied to by Satan into thinking they failed God when they have not. All right, so you made a mistake. get up, dust yourself off. My father used to always say, pick yourself up by the bootstraps, and dust yourself off and go on, because nobody else is going to pick you up. They'll walk by and kick you while you're down. So he taught me some very good lessons in the few years I was with him. So I'm telling you, get up. Don't expect somebody else to come and pick you up. Get up and dust yourself and go on with God. Your Holy Spirit-inspired words are producing changed lives, birthing divine destinies, and encouraging many to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Are you listening here? Your Holy Spirit-inspired words are producing changed lives, birthing divine destinies, and encouraging many to keep fighting the good fight of faith. Some have thought nothing was gained and time was wasted, but you did not see it in God's view. You know, whenever God uses you to minister to people, it's never time wasted. It really isn't. God is always accomplishing something in your life. Now, you know, when Sister Nancy Connell prophesies to you, she writes you a book. When I prophesy to you, it's short and to the point. That's just how God uses me. So what I'm saying here is don't try to be what somebody else is. Sometimes Sister Nancy's going on and say, God, why don't you just be quiet? Let's go on. There's a lot of people here. I do this. I'm being honest. There's a lot of people here who want to be spoken to, but he keeps on speaking, you know. And everybody's are crying and going on. And I know it's ministering to them. I'm just being honest with you. But, you know, don't tell God to shut up is what I'm saying. Let him do what he has to do. Let him say what he has to say and let the people be blessed. In other words, if God uses you to write a book, then write a book as you speak. But if he uses you to be short and blunt and to the point, see, that's why I am in a natural. I'm really short and blunt to the point. I just tell you what I think and that's done. And so that's how God uses me to prophesy. Amen. It's just like when I prophesied to those two preachers at some place over in the upper part of the world here. You know, they're both sitting there side by side and they had a radio program. And I walked over to them and I said, you have a radio program? And I said, and the two of you are going out with each other, but you're both married to somebody else. The pastor, I said, he said, I think we need to move on. But, you know, God continued to tell them how they were in adultery and they needed to get out or they weren't going to make heaven their home. But see, the pastor invited me, but he didn't want me to reveal the truth to the people. So I told him, if you're going to invite me, then I let God use me. And I didn't know any of these people either. You know, it's best if you don't know people. So whenever you get into their business and they get all upset, you know that was God. Amen. All right, never forget God has called you to announce, pronounce, and sometimes denounce. Are you hearing this? God, never forget God has called you to announce, pronounce, and sometimes denounce. From God's perspective, and that's all that counts. You hear that? From God's perspective, and that's all. I don't care what y'all think. It's what God thinks. You have spoken his words and stilled storms that raged and confused minds and hearts. You know, the other night we were sitting here, I was prophesying to people. I was sitting here prophesying and I turned around and looked at Alan and God, because God said to me, he wants the word tonight. And I turned around and looked at him and he just standing there and he said, so I'm going to give him one. And I think he was a little bit upset with it at first. But, you know, he was all right with it after when he read it. But so you want a word from God, then don't get upset with what he says is what I'm saying. God will tell me this one over there wants a word. That one wants a word. And he said, but I'm not going to give them one tonight. You'd be surprised what he's talking to me about sitting there. And one time he said, they want a word, but they really don't want to hear what I have to say tonight because I'm upset with them. So we won't give them the word. And you're looking at me, you're drawing on me. And God, you don't want to hear what God has to say because he's upset with you. Are you listening to this? So if you're going to be a prophet, then be a prophet. Hear God's voice and let God lead, guide, and direct you. Don't do your own thing. Instead of being weary, you will refresh the weary. Well, you know, when you speak a to the point word, you refresh something. You get their attention real quick, like, right? Fire is coming. God is really going to set the prophets on fire. He's going to use the prophets like he never used them before. So let him start increasing your prophetic gifting. Quit holding it back. Quit feeling saying, oh, I just can't do this. Well, then go sit down then. You know, you can do it or God wouldn't call you to do it. He wouldn't have put you in a prophetic church if you couldn't be a prophet. Many recipes say add water, and that is what God often does before he sends his fire. God told Elijah to add water 3 times before he sent the fire, and you can read that in 1 Kings 18. At that time, there was a drought, and water is precious, but Elijah knew the rains were coming. God has allowed some circumstances to throw water on your ministry and life, is what we're getting at here. So when he sends the fire, you will know it is from him. You ought to be shouting hallelujah about right now. Because some of you in here, well, some of us in here, the water has been thrown on our ministry. And we think, if you're like me, God, are you finished with me? What are you doing? You know, we're all human. We all have the same emotions. We all go down the same paths. So don't think that God's going to knock you off the face of the earth because you thought something, what you think is stupid. You know, nothing you think is stupid. And this is just the way we are, and God made us this way. So just take it before the Lord and let him reveal to you what he's really doing with you. 1 Kings 18, 41 through 46 is where you see about the fire of water. God is saying, be weary no longer. Your ministry has heaven's stamp of approval. Can every one of you in here really believe today that you have a stamp of approval from heaven on your ministry now? You know, every one of you in here, God has spoken that you're going to do something great for him. So are you really going to receive that? Are you today finally receive that? All right, God, I believe you're going to use me. I don't care what I think. I don't care how old I am. I don't care how crippled I am. I believe you're going to use me. You have to get to that point or God can't use you. Your doubt and unbelief will stop your ministry. Are you listening? Isaiah 55:11, my word that goes out of my mouth shall not return void, but shall accomplish what I please. So what has God spoken over you? That is what's going to happen to you. Sometimes I always hear what God has to say to people, but then I watch the people and then I'm thought, well, why aren't you moving? Why aren't you doing something? Do something. And then they don't come to church. Well, then they come back again and sit there and look dumbfounded and quit allowing the enemy to use you as a yo-yo. You're not a yo-yo. You're a child of God, called of God, anointed of God. There's a calling upon your life. Let God anoint you to start you in your ministry. Quit saying, well, should I do this and should I do that? Yes. If God's told you to do it, then do it. Then do it. We're all going to make mistakes. I made mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes when we step out there to do what God's called us forth to do. But that doesn't make you a loser. That should strengthen you to go ahead and keep on going. If you are sitting here today and you know that God has called you to be a prophet, then listen to what Jesus said to Philip in John 14:9. Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So he's saying, Philip, I've called you to do a work. You don't even know me, and you've been with me so long. Some of you have been sitting in here with me for years, and you still don't understand what God's trying to say to you. Get off the fence. Understand what God's doing with you and then start working on his behalf. All right, so they're still prophesying that, and I know because God told me this too, they're still prophesying that people are going to rush into the buildings, they're going to be in stadiums and everything else. Now, do you think one prophet's going to be able to prophesy to 5,000 people? Absolutely not. I've been in churches, you know, since after Larry and I got married, I've been going to churches and there was a prophet there and that's why we went. And so the prophet never called Larry out, but another prophet in the crowd called him out and spoke, and it was the truth. Everything he spoke to him was the truth. But God didn't want the prophet in the church to tell him because it was personal. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't the prophet that we went to see that was spoken in his life. It was a prophet God had placed in that church. That spoke into his life. All right. Now that doesn't give you all permission to hold a prophet's conference after I preach and say, I have a word for you. I didn't give you permission to do that. John 6:36, but I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Please believe that if God has spoken a word over your life, it is yes and amen. It is a truth. Matthew 13:54, and when he had come to his own country, this is Jesus, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? See? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Jose, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. In other words, in here I have no honor. In my home I have no honor. But if I go out on the road, the prophet's in town. And I have all honor. Are you understand what this scripture's saying? So what I'm saying to you is, in your own hometown, in your own family, you might not have any honor. But don't worry about that. When God sends you on the road, you'll have honor. Because your family knows you. You know, they know you lose your temper every now and then. And they know how you don't keep yourself as clean as you ought, or, you know, or anything like that. And that's a prophet. Yes, you're a prophet. So when you go out, don't worry about what your family says about you or what the church you're in says about you. It's when you go out on the road, then check the fruit out there. And if it's good fruit out there, then you got it. All right. So I said, they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He did not do any mighty works there because of their unbelief. In other words, you know, this has happened in this church. Nothing happens. I go out in the road, all kind of miracles happen. Why? Because they don't have any unbelief. The prophet's in town. And they just know their prophet's coming from God, and that prophet, you know, God can use a prophet to do anything they want to do. And God can because of their belief. Now, see, if you would just honor the prophet, wherever the prophet is at, then God could work through the prophet and do the signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. One time, Brother Chris Lynch, right after I married his father, he was in my kitchen, and I said, Chris, I said, God's telling me that person, I'm trying to get it right, that person that left, but they're going to return back. And he said, I'm not dating nobody. And I thought, well, is he homosexual? I'm being serious. This is what I thought. But you know, how many years was it then that happened? How many years later? Four or five or longer? This prophetic word came true. He was with somebody, and you know, and he did love them, and they did leave, but and they also came back. But at that point, he thought I was crazy, and I thought he was homosexual. So, you know, so what? I'm just sort of joking. But anyhow, so what I'm saying is, if they're saying, what are you talking about? You'll soon find out what you're talking about, what you just said. I've had people call me after 10 years of giving them a prophetic word, and they said, God told me to call you and tell you every single solitary thing you spoke over my life while I was there has come to pass. And when they did that, it was at a time when I really needed to hear that. You know, God, what I'm saying here is God will always encourage you and lift you up. All right. And so like with Chris, don't try to figure out what his problem is. You know, what a person's problem is when you're prophesying to him. God knows what's going to happen. God knows it's going to come to pass. And he would just spoke that into his life to let him know. And I don't know if he remembered or not, but it did happen. But anyhow, that when it does happen, then God already told me this was going to happen. Okay. Some of us are sitting in here that today God has spoken words over our life that have not yet come to pass. And we're thinking, God, have you forgotten your word? But he doesn't forget his word. His word never goes back to him void. So whatever God has spoken over your life, it is truly going to happen. For the past 4 days, I've been thinking about the kids' father. And so I called my daughter on the way to church, and I said, I've really been thinking about your father, because I usually don't think about him. And I said, I'm thinking about him in the context that he's not well. So would you please call your father and make sure he's okay? Because he was sickly a while back. See, and so I don't know what that's all about, but I know something's afoot. And so I had her call him to find out, Dad, are you okay? So, you know, you might pick up things like that. And so you don't slough them off like, oh, well, it's just not God. Check into it. It doesn't hurt anything to check into it. Because there might be something you can do to help this person. Now, if you don't want to be a prophet, tell God, I don't want to be a prophet. Because you'll be persecuted. I'm going to tell you right now. You'll be rejected. People won't like you at all. Especially when they find out you can tell them what's going on in their minds. They won't like you at all. But either you want to be a child of God, use of God as a prophet, or you don't. That's totally up to you. God's not going to make you fulfill your destiny. He's not going to make you. He wants you to, but he's not going to make you. So I want each one of you in here this morning, because every one of you are called to be a prophet. If you're in this church, you're called to be a prophet. And I want you to do something else. Quit allowing everybody to speak into your life. Everybody wants to come, you know, and say, you know, well, God showed me. You know what? If you're a prophet, God's already told you that. You don't need everybody speaking into your life. I was trying to think of the preacher's name, but told me that one time. He said, Barbara, you are called of God. You are a prophet of God. I was in a lineup. And he said, quit going to other prophets to find out what God's saying to you. You already know. He said, the prophets are going to lie to you and get you in confusion. So I'm suggesting to you this morning, quit running around trying to find a prophet to speak into your life. You know, let God speak into your life. And so if you're hearing God speaks into your life, fine. But, you know, you have to be careful. And I don't care where I should go to do that either. But make sure that you know that the prophet you're going to is a true man or woman of God. Because they could really speak a curse into your life. They could really cause you to stumble for a while before you get straightened out again. This morning, God's telling me that what he wants to do with you people is strengthen your prophetic gifting. And your calling, so that you know without a shadow of a doubt that it's him speaking through you and it's not your flesh. So anybody in here that you know you're called as a prophet of God and you want God to do that for you, come on up here because he wants to do that too. And he's telling me the reason why he's doing this today is because he's getting ready to use you all as vessels for his voice to speak through.